Welcome back, everybody. Tumen Yomi Tidur to Daf Tesvav Amud Beis 15b, and we are at the very bottom of Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. We are in the middle of many different teachings from Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Chanina, so we are going to continue with that. Says the Gemara, Haman says, V'choze einenu shoveli, that all of this is not worth anything to me. What's this referring to? So Amar Belazar, Amar B'chanina, B'shashara, Haman is Mordechai Yoshe, B'shara Melech Amar. So when Haman saw that Mordechai was at the king's gate, that he was becoming powerful, he said, Kolze einenu shoveli, nothing else is worthwhile to me. As long as I see this, I cannot appreciate anything else that I have. This is too upsetting to me. I cannot function. Kedir Rav Chista, this is like Rav Chista said. Amar Rav Chista, because Rav Chista says, Zeba b'pros buli, that Mordechai came from a position of wealth. V'zeba, but Haman came b'pros buti, from a position of poverty. Amar Rav Papa, v'karule, avda demizdaban b'talme. And they called Haman the slave who was sold for loaves of bread. Haman basically sold himself to Mordechai a while ago, and yet still, he could not move past this. He could not stand Mordechai. He hated Mordechai very much, and he was unable to function when he saw him in positions of success. The Gemara teaches another explanation of this pasuk. This teaches us that the record of all of his treasures were on his heart, meaning all he cared about was his money. That's all he could think about. That's all he can function with. And when he saw Mordechai sitting in the place of the palace, he said, all this money and everything that I've ever done and accomplished, it's all worthless to me as long as Mordechai is in this position of power. Now, another teaching from Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina. So, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosa Tar Barosh Kol Tzadik V'Tzadik. In the future, Hashem is going to put a crown on the head of every single righteous individual. Shnemar Bayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Tzevakos La'ateres Tzvi. So, Mai La'ateres Tzvi L'Tzfiras Tzifara. So, what does this mean when the pasuk says for a crown of beauty, for a crown of glory? It teaches La'asos Tzivyono V'lamatzapin Tifarto. It's teaching us that for those who do his will, they will see his glory. Yachol HaKol. So we might have thought that this is going to be for everyone who does Hashem's will. Tam Lomar L'shar Amot, to the remnant of the people, L'misha Mesim Atmo Kishirayim, to those who make themselves like the remnants, meaning those who humble themselves, those are tzaddikim, who are very humble, and these are the people that are going to see Hashem in his glory. Now comes the Gemara and describes the different elements of a tzaddik. Uruach Mishpah, when the Pasuk says Uruach Mishpah, Zahadonis Yitzhar. This is someone who judges his Yitzhara and forces the Yitzhara to go and do tshuva for the sins it's committed. La Yoshev Alha Mishpah, when the Pasuk says to one who sits in judgment, Zahadon Din Emes Lamito. This is referring to someone who judges a judgment to its absolute truth. L'gvuras, what does it mean for strength? Zahamiskaber Al Yitzhar. This is someone who's able to overcome his Yitzhara. Mishive Milchama, to those who turn back the battle. These are the people, the Torah scholars, who fight the battle of Torah, meaning they're debating Torah topics. Shara, when it says the gate, this is referring to the Talmidei Chachamim who come early and stay late in the shuls and the base medrash. Good, now comes Gemara and learns the next pasuk. Amra midas ha-din lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the midas ha-din, the attribute of justice, said before Hashem, Ribono Shalom, Manishtanu Eilu Me'eilu. What is the difference between the Jewish people and the rest of the nations of the world? Why is it only that the Jewish people can be given reward in such a manner, but the other nations of the world cannot? So Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem said back, Yisrael Shalasku Batorah. So the Jewish people that engage in the study of Torah, umos ha'olam lo asku ba'Torah. They don't learn Torah. That's what it's all about. Torah is the focus. Amar lei. So the midas ha'din said back that if it's true that they're going to be rewarded for the positive acts, then they're going to be punished for the negative acts. As it says, Amar lei, as the midas ha'din said back, v'gam eila bayayin shagu v'ashechartu paku p'lila. So we see from there that if they stumble in judgment, it's not going to be good. Now, how do we know that this is referring to Gehenim? So ein paku ela Gehenim. This word, they stumble, is definitely referring to Gehenim. Shenemar v'lo siya zos l'cha l'fuka v'ein p'lila ela dayonim. Shenemar v'nasan b'flilim. So we know that this is referring to Gehenim because, as we mentioned before, Avigail told David not to commit a sin that's going to lead him to Gehenim. So we see that this is referring to Gehenim. Now comes the Gemara and continues its whole discussion of the narrative of the Megillah. And she, Esther, stood in the inner court of the king's house. As soon as Esther entered into the inner chamber of the king, where there were tons of avodah zarah, so she no longer had the shechina with her. So she said back, as we see in Tehillim, she said, Hashem, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Shema ata don al shogei kemezid. Maybe you're treating me, someone who violated things b'shogei, like a mezid, al onis keratzon, someone who was forced to do certain things, like I did it willingly. O shema al shekrasiv kelev. Or perhaps you're leaving me because I called Achashverosh a dog. Shenemar, Hatzil Mecharev Nafshi Miyad Kelv Yechidasi. So Esther is just here trying to figure out why the Shekhinah is leaving her, even though she is now approaching Ahasuerus, as we spoke about yesterday. She's now instigating this conversation and whatever may follow. So still, she's being forced because she needs to save the Jewish people. So immediately, Chazra Lukra'atu Aryeh. So she retracted her statement of calling him a dog and started calling him a lion. Shnemar Hoshieni Mipi Aryeh. Now the pasuk goes on. Vahikros Hamelcha, sister Amalka, when the king noticed Esther standing there in the courtyard and she won favor in his eyes, and he extended the golden scepter towards Esther. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, there were three angels that helped her at this time. One raised her neck, and one that gave her an extra element of charm, and one that stretched out the king's scepter towards her. Basically, when she went in to go greet the king, we know that anyone who greeted the king uninvited was going to be killed, so she was frozen. She was so scared, so these malachim came and helped her out. V'kaman, how far did the angel go and stretch out the scepter to make sure that she would look normal and that she was acting regular? Amar b'Yirmiyah, shtei amos haya v'hamidu al shtei mesrei. Normally it was 2 amos long, and the angel made it that it was 12 amos long, so that way she would be functioning normally. V'amrega al sheish esrei, and some say that it became 16 amos long. V'amrega al esrim v'arba, and some say it stretched to 24 amos. Masi satana al shishim. And the Brisa was taught that it stretched to 60 amos. This is some of the great miracles that the malachim did. Now, we just mentioned a situation where something was stretched out as a miracle. So we see that this also happened in other places. And the similar thing we find happened with the arm of Bas Paro when she was miraculously stretching it out 60 amos to go and get Moshe Rabbeinu from the Nile River. And we see a similar thing with the teeth of the Rishayim. So this is a story that we actually mentioned in Masech Brachos, where Og Melech Bashan, the giant Og, he picked up a mountain to go and just crush the entire Jewish people because he was so big. And as he was about to drop it, Hashem made it fall into his head, that it kind of became how it went into his head, and then made his teeth grow so he was unable to get it off of his head. So this was another situation where Hashem extended something to make a big miracle. T'ksiv Shinei Rishayim Shibarta, the teeth of the wicked you have broken. V'amar Reish Lakish Al Tikrei Shibarta Ela Shirbavta. Don't say that they were broken, rather they were just extended. Another opinion on the stretching of Achashverosh scepter. Rabba bar Ofran Amar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Shasham Mirabo Virabo Mirabo Masayim. Some say that it even stretched 200 amos long. We see this was a major miracle. Now the Megillah continues. Vayomer Lo HaMelech, Malach Esther Amako, Mabakash Osecha, Chatzia Machus Vaseah. So the king said to her, what do you want, Queen Esther? I'll give you anything. What are you asking? I'll even give you half the kingdom and it will be yours. Chatzia Machus. So Achashverosh offered Esther half the kingdom, Lo Kol HaMachus, but not the entire thing, Lo Davar Shechotzis HaMachus, nor something which would divide the kingdom. Umayin Yehu, and what's this referring to? Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The building of the Beis HaMikdash, that's not something he would have given her. He would have given her anything else, but he would not have allowed her to start the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the pasuk continues. Yavo HaMelech VeHaman El HaMishtedin. Esther answered Achashverosh, let you and Haman come to a party. I'm throwing a party and I want you and Haman to come. So Tanu Rabban and Rabban Sabraisa. Ma Rasa Esther Shezimna Es Haman. What was Esther's reasoning for inviting Haman to this party? Now the Gemara is going to come and give many answers to this question. Again, she went out of her way to go and invite Achashverosh and Haman. So what was she trying to accomplish? Rabbi Elazar Omar Pachim Tamnalos. Rabbi Elazar said she set a trap for him. Shenemar Yishulchanam Lifneim Lefach. As it says, may their table become a trap for them. This is what she was trying to do to trap up Haman to get him in trouble. Rishua Omer Beis Avi Alamda. Rabbi Yeshua says she learned from her father's house. Now this can't be literally her father, as we pointed out that she was an orphan, but it means she heard from children. Where basically the concept is Shenemar Imroiv Sonacha Achileu Lechem. That if your enemy is hungry, give him bread. It's a good tactic to go ahead and feed your enemy. Rabbi Meir Omer Kedesh Kol Yitol Eitzav Yimrod. Rabbi Meir said the reason why she invited Haman is because then Haman would go and take counsel. He'd go and get some advice from other people, and he'd rebel against the king, and she was afraid that maybe he'd win. He was going on a streak of success, and she was afraid that maybe he would be successful in overtaking the king, so she wanted to keep the enemy closer. But Yudah Omer, Rabbi Yudah says, Kedesh Kol Yakiru Baal She Yehudis. She invited Haman so that they would not realize that she is a Jew. Esther was afraid that if Haman would find out that she's a Jew, he might go and set an earlier date for the annihilation of the Jewish people and would cause bad things. So that's why she invited him again to keep him close. Rabbi Nechemiah says, Kedei Shelo Yomri Yisrael. She invited Haman so that the Jews would not say, Achos Yishlanu Bebeis HaMelech, that we have a sister in the palace, meaning we have our connections, we have our in, so we don't really need to daven that much. And we're going to neglect our prayer because we already have an in and Esther's going to save us. So to avoid that, we wanted to have Haman with them to go and understand how serious the situation was. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kadesha Yehei Matzo Ila Becholes. Rabbi Yossi says she invited Haman so that he would be available to her the whole time, and perhaps an opportunity would come up where she can trip him up, so she wanted to just have him available. Rabbi Shimon Menashe Omer, Rabbi Shimon Menashe says, Ula Yargish HaMakom. She wanted him close because maybe Hashem's mercy is going to be aroused. V'yasagon nesin, a miracle will happen. So we want to have him closer. Yeshua ben Karach Omer, Asbir lo panim kideshi areg hu vehi. Esther planned, actually, I'm going to flirt with Haman. And when I do that, Achashverosh is going to see and he's going to kill me and Haman. But at least Haman will be killed so the Jewish people will be saved. Ramagamliel says, Melech hafafchan haya. So Esther knew that Achashverosh was a very weak-minded king. So if she was able to convince him to go and kill Haman and to get rid of Haman, she was afraid that by the time he would actually go to do it, he would change his mind. So she wanted him to be there so that way it could happen immediately. Gamliel said, even after all these reasons, we still need the reason given by Rabbi Yezer, the Modian. Detanya, Rabbi Yezer, HaModai Omer, Kinatu Bamelech, Kinatu Basarim. By inviting Haman, she made the king jealous of him, and she made the other nobles jealous of him as well. That it was really a tactic to go ahead and create some jealousy within the palace, that Achashverosh is going to be wondering, hey, why'd she invite Haman? And then that's going to go and start creating some suspicion. Rabba Amar, another reason why Esther invited Haman, Lefnei Shever Gaon, because the pasuk says that pride comes before destruction, that she wanted to build up Haman, because when you're feeling good about yourself and you're on a pride streak, that's going to be the introduction to destruction. So Abai and Rava said that her reasoning was based on the pasuk where it says, when they are hot, I will prepare their feasts, etc. Meaning again that this is going to be the beginning of the destruction. The Gemara finally says, Ashkeche Rabba Baravu Eliyahu. So Rabba Baravu met Eliyahu Anavi, Amarle, and they asked him, Kiman Chazya Esther Va'avdahach. You have all these reasons. Which one was the true one? Why did she invite Haman? So Amarle, so Eliyahu Anavi said back, Kikul Tanayu Kikul Amorai. Esther was influenced by all of these reasons. All of these are really true. All of these reasons that we mentioned are all part of the reason why she made sure to invite Haman. Megillah continues, Vaisaper Lahem, Haman es Kivod Ashro Verov Banav. And Haman recounted to them the glory of his wealth and all of his sons. V'kamarov banav. So how many children did Haman in fact have? So Amarav, Lamed, he had 30 sons. Asara Mesu, 10 of them died. Vasara Nitlu, and 10 of them were hanged. Vasara Mechazrin Alapsachim, and 10 of them were so poor that they had to go knocking and begging from door to door for food. Rabbanan Amre, the Rabbanan said, Osan Shemechazrin Alapsachim Shivim Hayavavya. The sons that were going from door to door knocking for food, that was actually 70 of them. Diksiv Sivayim Balechem Niskar, because the pasuk says that the sons of Haman who were full have now hired themselves out for bread. Al Tikrei Sivayim, don't read it as full. Sivayim Ela Shivim, rather read it as 70. Rami Baraba Amar Kulan Masayim Ushmona Habu, that Haman had 208 sons. Shnemar Verov Banav, because the pasuk says Verov Banav, and the gematria of Rov is 208. I asked the Gemara Verov Bigematria Masan Var Beisar Hava, but Rov and gematria are Resh, Vav, Vez is 214, not 208. So Amar of Nachmar Yitzlak, Verov Ksev, it says it without the Vav, so really it is 208. So we see that Haman had 208 sons. Megillah continues, Balagahu Nadadashana Samelech. That night, the king could not sleep, and he was disturbed, and he was not able to fall asleep, and therefore he went to go look at his book of remembrances, and he remembered that Mordechai saved him, and he wanted to throw a party for Mordechai. So Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Nodida Shinas Malko Shel Olam. What this means is that the sleep of the king of the universe, of Hashem, was disturbed. Rabbanan Amrei, Nodidu El Yonim, Nodidu Tachtonim. And the Rabbanan say it means that the angels were not able to sleep, and the Achashverosh was also unable to sleep. Rava Amar Shinas HaMelech Achashverosh Mamish. Rava says that no, it's really referring to just the fact that Achashverosh couldn't sleep. Naflolei Milsa Bedaite, because a certain thought came into his head. Amar Mai Dikaman Zimte Esther Lahaman. Why did Esther invite Haman to this party? As we just mentioned all those reasons before, he just couldn't get it out of his head. Why did Esther invite Haman? Dilma Itza Kashak Lilave Dahu Gavra Lamiktule. Maybe they're conspiring against me to kill me. Hadar Amar. So then he thought again, Ihachi Loava Gavra Darachimli. Then there must be no one who loves me, because these are my two closest people, Esther and Haman. And if they're trying to kill me, then I got no chance. What am I going to do? Dahava Modali. Who would have informed me that they're trying to kill me? I have no one that I can trust. So Hadar Amar. So then he thought again. He said, Dilma Ika Inish Da'avad Beitivusa. Maybe there's someone who once did me a favor, Lo Perate, and I never rewarded them. And therefore, Mishimhachi Mimane Inchi. Therefore, no one wants to help me, because they know they're not going to be rewarded. Veloma Galuli, and therefore they didn't inform me that these people are plotting against me. Miad vayomer lahavi as sefer azichronos divrei yamim. That's why he went to go look into the sefer and to go find that someone had helped him and that Mordechai ultimately saved his life, where he wanted to go and reward Mordechai for it. So we see it's all one big story, one thing leading to another in terms of all these miracles of the Megillah. Let's do a little more. Vayu nikraim, and they were read before the king. Malamich nikra me'elam. This teaches us that it was read by itself, meaning the scribe who was there to read this whole portion of who had saved him, he wanted to skip over the Mordechai one because he didn't want Mordechai to be rewarded, becomes a major miracle, and it was actually read out loud by itself. So Achashverosh was able to fully acknowledge the fact that Mordechai had saved him. So this is Daf Tesvav Amud Beis. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.